The scripture reading is Ezekiel 47, 1 to 5, in Galatians 5, 19 to 21. I read. Ezekiel 47, 1 to 5. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. But the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. Galatians 5:19-21. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Senior pastor will preach the message.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 10,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet worldwide, children of Sunday school, and the GCN viewers. Today, I will deliver the series, God Measures Our Faith. It is the 13th session. Let's briefly review the flow of previous messages. Prophet Ezekiel saw in vision that the water came out of the temple, flowed around it, and went outside. This symbolizes that the word of God preached in the temple spreads out to the whole world. Specifically, through GCN, Global Christian Network, will unite whole Christian television stations around the world, and the words and the message preached in this sanctuary will spread out to the whole world. Even though we are spreading to the whole world now, but it will reach every corner of the world. This water became increasingly deeper until it became a river. When Ezekiel first forded this water, it came up to his ankle, and then the knees, and then the loins. Eventually, the water became overflowing, comparable to that of a river. Water spiritually symbolizes the Word of God. Therefore, the level of being dipped in water symbolizes the level of practicing the Word of God by which faith is measured. Here, before Ezekiel forded the water each time, the messenger of God measured 1,000 cubits. This symbolizes that God measures each one's faith without any error. Each person will receive either reward or punishment according to his measure of faith that is measured accurately. While we go through human cultivation on this earth, we receive answers to our prayers according to justice based on our measure of faith. God the Father leads us in a way that our faith will keep on growing up. The level of water up to the ankle, which is the first level of faith, is the least bit of faith that is necessary to receive salvation. But as the world is full of sin today, there are so many people who do not even have this first level of faith. Even people claim to believe in God, even they are in the second level of faith. In the third level of faith, many of them fall into the first level of faith by committing the sin leading to death. And they destroy all the heavenly reward they have stored up by committing that kind of thing. There are many who don't have any faith even among the people who come to the church, not to mention unbelievers of the world. Therefore, even if you are attending a church, you should check your faith carefully. God writes in many parts of the Bible that there are sins that deprive of salvation. Also in the Bible, among the sins that deprive of salvation, there are sins that can never be forgiven, which lead to death. So these days, the servants of God preach in a wrong way in many times. Saying that if you just forgive after committing sin, having committed sin, then you can be saved. That's not perfect. Yes, of course, it's right. If we repent our sin, then we can be forgiven, we can be saved. But there must be some sin which cannot be repented. So we must, the preachers should say that there are two kinds of sins. The one you can repent, the other you can repent. So if you commit that kind of sin which you can repent, then you cannot be saved. So we must not say that. The preachers must not say, well, we can be saved whatever sin we may commit. So you must understand clearly spiritual principles. So sins depriving of salvation can be forgiven if you thoroughly repent, but sins leading to death are fearful sins that cannot be forgiven at all. Just because you can repent, you cannot be saved. No matter how much you try to repent, you can. That's why the Bible says that the sin leading to death cannot repent. Because God don't give the spirit of repentance. I talked about five major sins depriving of salvation through the last session. They are idolatry, violating the Sabbath, robbing God by not giving the tithe, standing against men of God, and the forms of adulteries and fornications. Today, idolatry. Yeah, that's one of the sins leading to death. Then you may think, oh, I have worshipped idol before. What shall I do? Yeah, most of you, before believing in God, worship the idol. But after knowing the truth, once you believed in God Almighty, you just understand the idol, what idol worshiping means, and you just threw it away and you left the idol worshiping. But why is it that they mentioned that idolatry cannot be forgiven? For example, you came to know the truth and you just threw away the idol worshiping and you left the idol worshiping, then that's okay. Then you're going to be forgiven. That is not the sin leading to death. But there are some people who know the truth, who know the God, but again, they worship the idol. There's no way. When you didn't know about the idol worshiping, if you worship the idol, then you can be forgiven if you thoroughly repent. But once you know the truth and then worship the idol again, no way for you to be forgiven. It's very difficult to be forgiven. Some people, before believing in Jesus Christ, like the fortune telling, and something like that, they came to the church and they experienced the having the part of their face paralyzed. After visiting the hometown on the occasion of Korean holidays, traditional holidays like Lunar New Year or Full Moon Festival, and they worshiped the participated in worshiping the ancestors, etc. And they experienced that kind of things, having their faces face paralyzed. Partly. So if you did practice that kind of things before, but you must throw it away. So that's not allowed. If you do that, then it means that you have some idol worshiping characteristics in your heart. Today, I am going to talk about the sixth sin depriving of salvation, which is the evident works of the flesh. I wonder if anybody thinks as follows. Many believers were forgiven of their sins leading to death on December 25th, 2010, and now they are marching towards the rock of faith, towards spirit, and even further on into a whole spirit. So why is senior pastor preaching something like this? Let me answer that with a Bible verse. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There are many people who are living a life that is far from salvation in this country and all around the world because they do not know the truth. Or even if they do know, they don't, because their faith is weak. Even among our own church members, there are a few who do not abide in the truth, and that's why I'm delivering this message again. I hope all of you will have faith to receive salvation, and further, faith of spirit, before we go into Canaan sanctuary. And that's the will of God the Father. I hope you will realize that to continually preach the truth is the love of God the Father who never gives up on us. Brothers and sisters, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21 says, Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, the heavenly kingdom. So they can enter the heaven. Then it means that they will fall into hell. So the Bible mentions many times about hell. You will fall into the darkness, etc. So works of the flesh refer to sins committed in action. Among them, the evident works of the flesh are the sins. They are clearly evil and filthy, even by common morality and sense. Among them, I explained in detail about sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, and idolatry. So let us briefly go over the rest. Even if you might think you didn't commit any of the five sins mentioned, I hope you would still check yourself carefully based on today's message. Today, the consciences of the people are so stained with evil that some people commit grave sins, thinking that it's okay to commit such sins. One of them is the homosexual behavior act. It's quite popular around the world now. Homosexuality. Even as you can see and hear through the news media that even legally it's now okay, allowed, I mean, in some countries. But they've been changing the legal system and laws because it's the end time. And if you turn on the TV and you can see a lot of programs which encourage or depicts the homosexuality in a good way. So people might think it lightly. So even the woman or women or men, if you sleep together, you need to be careful. Especially the women sleep together on the bed because they are so close. They can touch the other body. It's not wrong to shake hands between men and men, but if the two women, for example, sleep together and touches the bodies of other body, but they don't feel that it's wrong or something because they are so close. They take it very lightly. And if it is developed, then they can touch more deeply. It's quite filthy and dirty in the sight of God. But they do it, and they come to get the problems in their lung. In some cases, the cancers, but mostly people come to have the lung diseases due to homosexuality. Think about it. Why is it that the people take it so lightly? So I thought myself, why is it that the people take it so lightly and get the lung diseases? For example, around myself, Elder Choi, Elder Ik-seop Lee, and Kang Jun Lee, and Johnny Kim, and Seung Chul Song currently. They are so close, and we use the same hotel. But I don't use the same room. I don't share the room together with them, but I suppose myself. Also, we just go to the overseas for God's work, and I just share the room together with the Elder Choi, Jongsoo Choi, and Ik-seop Lee. No matter how much I love them, and even they love me, just we sleep together on the one same bed and touch my body. If Elder Choi touches my body with his hand, it's so fearful. It's out of the question. So what is it? The worm, yes, living in the tree. It's like that kind of warmth that creeping on my body if I think of that kind of thing. Yeah, I love them so much. But even though I love them so much, but if they touch my body in that way, it's like have the warmth creeping on my body. I think it's all the same with the women. But how can they practice that kind of homosexual behavior? Even though how much they loved each other. There must be a limit. But they, and at the same time, they take it so lightly, then they can, they may develop it deeply if they take it light. So, why is it that God mentions it detestable and it's not forgiven in the Bible? So mostly God doesn't allow the homosexual behavior. Brothers and sisters, among the evident works of the flesh, let me explain about the things that deprive from hatred, which is spiritual murder, with the examples of King Saul and Absalom. Here, enmity is to hold grudges against and resent someone to the extent to drive him to destruction. It's not just to have evil feelings, thinking, well, I don't want to see him. I wish he would disappear. But to try to destroy him by slandering and scheming. If you suffer without a proper cause because of somebody, you hold grudges against him. If you don't like somebody, you just hate that person like an enemy. Regardless of what the reason may be, having hatred in heart is great evil in God's sight. Especially, if you hate somebody who is innocent, as though he were an enemy, it's an even greater evil. King Saul had enmity with the man of God David and caused destruction to come upon himself. David was a good man who revered God. He was also Saul's faithful servant and son-in-law. When Saul was suffering due to evil spirits, David drove them away by playing a harp. When there were wars with the neighboring countries, he fought bravely and gave the victories to Saul. But Saul would treat this innocent David like a traitor and chase him with thousands of soldiers. Try to kill David. Saul hated the man of God as if he were an enemy and tried to kill him. And for Saul, this, in essence, was to have enmity with God. Finally, Saul brought destruction upon himself. You shouldn't take this example lightly, thinking, oh, it's just the story of evil Saul in the Bible. You should keep in mind that such a sin can also grow in you too, as long as you do not uproot hatred completely. For example, there was a middle school student who bullied another student to the point that the victim committed suicide. They did it simply because they didn't like him and they thought it was fun. If you hate somebody who is not an enemy to you, and if you don't control your heart, such a tragedy can happen anytime. Furthermore, if that person is loved by God, is to have enmity with God, so how do you figure you can be saved? God the Father tells us to love even our enemies. The Lord showed perfect mercy through being sacrificed on the cross, even for heinous sinners. We all have to take after this example of the Lord. In doing so, I hope that you will receive compliments of the Lord, saying, "Well done." Brothers and sisters, let's think of the heart of the King David. I hope you were in the heart of the King David. After having committed sins, he was warned by the prophet and he repented. He admitted what he did and he repented. But after a long time, the test and trial came upon him. It was so severe. Why? Because he loved God so much. He had a faith in God. But he committed sin which he must have not been committed by himself. You know all the details about what kind of trial he had. His beloved son tried to kill David. He stole the throne of King David. And he fled Absalom, his son, now with his subordinates. No place to sleep and nothing to eat. Now he's pursued by his son with the soldiers. Because he's in a miserable situation. By his own son. And the son, in the daytime, slept together with the concubines of King David in the sight of the people. It can be imaginable. It can be imagined. How can a son do such a thing to a father? It must have not been committed. That's what King David experienced through his son. But how did King David respond? He didn't say that, oh, how can these things be happened? I have forgiven you, the Absalom, when you committed the sin leading to death. How can you do, how dare can you say, do such a thing to me? Instead, King David asked his generals and the subordinates, that they must not kill the Absalom when they called him Shadrach. Just forgive him. If you were in the case of the King David, what about you? Can you forgive this kind of crime or sin against you? I think you better. But David is asking his generals not to kill him, Absalom. Through this kind of experiences, King David experienced a change in his heart. Even the curse of the people, he forgave it. Unforgivable sins his son committed, he just forgave it, and he just, you know, experienced a change in his heart, even to forgive that kind of sin. So if you were in that kind of situation, what kind of heart or what kind of attitude you think you have? Put yourself in the shoe of the King David now. Oh, I can't forgive him. If you have that kind of heart, that's why you are not able to stand on the rock of faith. Those who have stood on the rock of faith, if they just listen to this kind of message, then they can have some heart to be able to forgive the party who have done this kind of things to them. But the people who enter into the level of spirit, yes, if they are asked, then they can say boldly that I can forgive if I were in that situation. But those who enter into the whole spirit, level of whole spirit, yes, without any emotion, they can forgive. This is the difference among the level of faith of each person. Brothers and sisters, the main reason why Saul considered David his enemy was his jealousy. This is also caused by hatred. In today's reading passage, it said jealousy is also one of the evident works of the flesh. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7 depicts a scene where women sang as they played. They sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So the king, people praised the 10 times more David than Saul. The Bible says Saul was displeased and angry hearing this. If he had a good heart and a consciousness, conscience, then he didn't have any reason to be displeased or angry. Because King David fought for the country and for himself, and he saved the country. It's quite natural for people to praise David. He must be joyful when he heard this. But he was not happy and was displeased and angry and tried to kill David. We have similar cases in Korean history. We have a person called Cho Gwang-jo. He's a very upright man. He's a subordinate of the Joseon dynasty. He was trusted by king and decided to reform the system of the country. So he actively reformed. And that was good for country. So king encouraged him to do so. I will support you. So just go ahead. So Cho Gwang-jo had reformed continually, even though there was a resist from the other leaders. And subordinates. But by faith, Cho Gwang-jo had been reforming. And the one thing happened, like the story here in the King David and Saul. So one day, king went out of the palace together with Cho Gwang-jo. But the people praised Cho Gwang-jo higher than the king. The king saw that the people praised him, but he realized that it was for Cho Gwang-jo. So he was discomforted and displeased. And he tried to sack the Zhou Guangzhou. And the reformation was failed, and the Zhou Guangzhou faced the death after that. Because of the jealousy and envy. Even the king promised Zhou Guangzhou about reformation, but he couldn't finish his support till the end, and he killed the subordinates in that way. Even a country is shaken and destroyed or broken by due to jealousy and envy. We can find a lot of the cases of events due to jealousy and envy. Even Joseph was sold to Egypt by the jealousy and envy of his brothers, and Abraham had a hard time because of the jealousy and envy between the his wives. So the same with Jacob. So Saul was displeased and angry hearing this. That's what the Bible says. Jealousy is to have discomfort. It causes hatred and avoidance of a person when you see somebody who's better than you. Furthermore, you may even have evil desires, thinking you want to destroy him and take away everything he has. If you have jealousy and envy, then you can speak badly against him with other people. And even you can make evil schemes. So as this jealousy progressively develops, it becomes extreme envy. If you have extreme envy, your jealousy will show as actions in harming that person. Cain was jealous of his brother Abel and eventually killed him. King Saul also tried to kill David many times. That's because he thought his throne would be firm and he would be loved more only if he got rid of David. But God always protected David, and it was Saul who lost his fame and power due to his extreme envy. God took the authority and honor from Saul and gave it to good David. After all, Saul didn't receive salvation. In history, there were many occasions where women in the royal palace were jealous of each other, trying to receive more love from the king. They spread false rumors, framed others, or cursed others with sorceries. After all, one of them or both parties get in serious trouble, and so many other innocent people get killed. If we just have the simple nature of jealousy, God will say it is very evil. And if a believer in God commits evil acts with jealousy, how could he be saved? Therefore, I hope you will cultivate good hearts which have no form of jealousy at all. In doing so, I hope that you will receive praises, honor, and love of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we have a lot of teams in the art performing committees. So there must be lots of envy and jealousy in this church, because especially people in that kind of society, community, in the art performing society, tend to have this kind of envy, jealous, because they want to be recognized more than others, and they want to have a chance to perform by themselves. But what about us in this church? We have a lot of people who are involved in the art performing committee, who perform on the altar, and who preside, and who dance and sing. But I don't think you have heard that somebody have jealousy or envy among art performing committee. And those who stand on the this altar don't have envy or jealousy. Instead, they help each other. And they hope that the other party will be better and will be praised and will be blessed. They don't slam the others, and they don't speak badly against each other or the other party. What a beautiful thing it is. Those people are now singing and dancing in the sight of God. That's why enemy devil, Satan, slept and the congregation couldn't worship in truth and in spirit. And congregation are longing to enjoy the performance even before the worship service, I mean message. That's what we are experiencing in this church now. So I'd like to praise the members of the art performing committee, and I'd like to support them. And actually, I have done, and I've helped them, because they worked hard, and they helped us a lot, I mean, the church members, to have a very spirit-filled Christian life. So you love them, right? Yes, it's so grateful. Isn't it? Because I'm so grateful because they don't have a jealousy and envy. It means that they removed it. That's why most of them have entered into the rock of faith, I mean the third level of spirit, and most of them are marching forward the level of spirit. So we have a lot of interesting things in this church. We have a man group in this church. If I mention the name, then you can immediately recognize who they are. But they united themselves and they agreed each other. Let's share the short messages through mobile phone together, and let's share the our telephone call together. So if one of them have a message or call, then the members of that group know each other immediately. What kind of messages they receive, I mean, he received, one of the members, they can't hide it. They don't want to hide it. They made a system like this among them. So it's not possible for them to have a personal, private message from a female member. So it's going to be blocked naturally, because it's going to be opened naturally if one of them has a message. But all of them have entered the level of spirit now. Those who practice this kind of things, it's quite natural for them to enter the level of spirit, because they considering their practices and their heart and their attitude, etc. They don't want to tempt the female members. They don't want to be tempted. So it means that they obey the words of God in everyday life. So that's why I have entered into the level of spirit. And one of them, son, is more than 50% of the level of spirit. That's the status of him. He is marching forward the whole spirit. It's not easy to grow up 1% in that kind of level. Yes, it depends on our heart and our attitude and practices. Because they love God first and practice in that way. That's why they've entered into the level of spirit. Yes, those who agree with each other, all of them have entered the level of spirit. And they live a Christian life so happily. And as I told you, those who have entered into the level of spirit, they experience the prosperity and the good health. And even they've been receiving the even physical blessing. So I firmly believe that they will, even though they have not received the physical blessing yet, material, I mean, yeah, I believe that they will receive soon. And otherwise, through me, myself, God will bless them. Well, do you remember the woman, yes, Deaconess Cheng Jung-sun, who has received the grand prize for a 2-week consecutive special Daniel prayer meeting? Before the awarding ceremony, 15 days ago, in the dream of somebody else, I appeared and told him or her that the number 36 would receive the grand prize. It's not for one person. It's not one person or two. Three of them, up to now, have known already before the awarding ceremony that the number 36 would receive the grand prize. I believe that God would expose it, because it's not only one person. Many have known already. So God knew everything. So we cannot tell a lie before God. Oh, senior pastor, you are not God, so we can deceive you. We can tell a lie to you. If you deceive me, then it's like deceiving God the Father. You know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? When they deceived Peter, they were told that they deceived the Holy Spirit. They just deceived the Apostle Peter, but he said that you deceived the Holy Spirit. Because Peter performed the signs and wonders, the works of the mighty power of God through the Holy Spirit. So when they deceived Apostle Peter, it means they deceived the Holy Spirit. Those who perform the power of God, you must not treat them lightly. So, dear congregation and brothers and sisters, next, there is outburst of anger that's in one's heart. The hot temper is coming out of your heart. That's outburst of anger. It's very violent words and actions that can harm other people or even pose a threat of life. For example, when evil spirits came upon him mightily, King Saul threw his spear towards David, thinking he would pin David to the wall. Pin David to the wall. Yes, if he hurled the spear, then the spear can pin him to the wall. And he was also very angry with his son Jonathan just because he was protecting David. Even his son tried to protect David, whom he hated. So he even hated his son. Also, he cursed at him, saying, "You son of perverse, rebellious woman," and hurled his spear at him to strike him down. Only because he tried to protect David, whom he hated. So when he said that, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman," it means that he cursed himself. Because of anger, he just cursed his only son, whom he has gave birth. His son of a pervert, rebellious woman. Means that he was so much angry. Even he hurled his spear at him to strike him down. So he must remove the hot temper 100%. That's the best way. Otherwise, it can come out any time. We don't know. So before believing in God, I was so introvert, so I endured again and again. When I faced with the limit, then it exploded. I endured quite a long time. But when I had an occasion which ignited my temper, so it's going to be fearful. So when introvert is exploded, it's very dreadful. It's not quite often, but once in a couple of years, 1 or 2 years, if I exploded, it's dreadful. Even the television is going to be broken. It's a big loss for our family at the time. Who was not wealthy. To have a TV set broken is a big loss. But anyway, that happened. When I went up to Namsan before, long time ago, I was drunken, returning home. I exploded. And then when I try to get my money back after trying to persuade the other party many times to get my money back. But when I failed, I just drank alcohol before believing in Jesus Christ. I did that, yes, before knowing God. Even though I was introvert and gentle, but unless I root out the hot temper in myself, I could explode in that way. Well, when he learned, Saul, I mean, that the priest Ahimelech helped David, he destroyed the whole city where the priests were living. As mentioned, outbursts of anger would be revealed as severe strife or physical violence. Today, there are so many incidents where people even commit murder just because they can't control a moment's anger. Last year, a medical doctor killed his wife in the middle of an argument. His wife was almost due to give birth. It was made known that he strangled his wife, who was pregnant with their child, just because he couldn't control his momentary anger. Therefore, we have to pull out even the original root of anger from our heart. As we can see from Saul's case, those who get angry must keep in mind that they are being controlled by the enemy, devil, and Satan. Next, there is a sorcery. It refers to secret arts or tricks. Most common examples of sorceries are shamanism and fortune-telling. So you can refer back to the discussion of idolatry about this. There is another example of sorcery, which are tricks or deceptive schemes. You make an evil plan to take away somebody else's possessions or cause them to fall into a trap. Before he began his rebellion, Absalom stole the hearts of people that were towards King David with an evil kind of wisdom. For example, he would stand before the city gate in the early morning, and when people came to King David for a trial, he would bring down David's name. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 3 says, "See, your claims are good and right, but no man listens to you on the part of the king." He cheated the people. Next, he deceived them by saying that he would show them justice if they asked him for a judgment. When the people were moved by his act and wanted to bow before him, he would kindly hold them, kiss them, and treat them nicely. But the heart of this Absalom was only filled with his arrogance and the grudges against his father David and his greed for power. His heart was very different from that of King David, who really cared for each of his people. Absalom finally launched his rebellion. He brought Ahithophel, who was David's counsel, to his side and tried to destroy King David and all his men with an evil scheme. But eventually, he was brutally killed because of the counter-counsel of the counselor on David's side. Today, the world in which we believers live is full of these schemes. So many people try to destroy their competitors just to get what they want. We have experienced these kind of things in 1998 and 1999. With a lot of evil schemes, they try to kill me and try to destroy this church. But see, how many people try to kill me and destroy this church? But nobody sued against me personally. If what they claim was true, then so many people sued me. But because it was not true, but deceit, nobody could sue me. So nobody could sue me at the time, even though they spread out lots of false rumors. What about the broadcasting companies? If there's anything, anybody sue me, then till the end, the broadcasting company broadcasts so many different programs and destroy this church. But because that's not true, they couldn't broadcast continually, and even the newspapers, because they didn't find anything wrong inside of me. They just carried my columns after that. And I knew how the people who left this church, stood against this church, did, visiting the broadcasting companies and newspapers, etc., saying that we'll pay you this and that if you do this or that. I heard later that from the people who were told by those people, saying that we'll pay you if you say this and that for the specific TV programs or something. Well, they might deceive the eyes of men with those evil plans, but they could never cheat the eyes of God the Father. Therefore, I hope you believers in God will be conscious about these things and just walk away that is righteous, which is the bounded way of salvation. Brothers and sisters, the rebellion of Absalom can also be strife. Strife is a fight and struggle to get one to get what one wants, such as wealth, fame, and power. Strife comes from hatred and greed. For example, countries, races, or groups of people fight with others in a war or in severe battles to get something beneficial for them. Also, strife can include the court trials over wealth between divorcing couples or among brothers who fight for the inheritance money. Strife doesn't only break peace, but also it brings about killing and destruction. Absalom's rebellion led to a civil war, and 20,000 men were killed overnight in a fight among their own people. Of course, this incident didn't develop into greater trouble. It was because King David didn't want to have strife with those who participated in rebellion. For David, the war was an unavoidable choice that he had to make to protect his men and people. David continually prayed to God that God would end the strife as soon as possible. When Absalom killed David's first son and his brother Amnon and ran away, David still forgave him and accepted him. Absalom forgot about this grace and rebelled against his father. Nevertheless, David still asked his men to save the life of his son. It's all the same with me. Those who try to kill me and destroy this church and committed the big sins, but I've told people around me to forgive them. Just protect them. Just forgave them and protect them. What a contrast do we see between the heart of Absalom and that of David, who followed peace. It's the same in the church. Some workers and members try their best to keep peace, while some others constantly cause strife. We had this before two or three or four years ago, but now it's a different story. We don't have these kind of things now. Some fight with other pastors or church members for personal benefit or for the benefit of their own group. Strife is a work of Satan. A church that has constant strife will not have any revival, and furthermore, it will be destroyed. Strife is a sin to act against the Lord. If you committed such a sin and have not repented yet, you cannot be saved. When the believers in the church sued each other in the court of the world, the Apostle Paul said it was unrighteousness that would stop them from inheriting the kingdom of God. So it's not possible, it's not allowed to sue each other among the brothers in the church in Christ Jesus. And before he said that, he warned the brothers as follows. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6 to 7 says, a brother goes to law with a brother, and that before unbelievers, actually then it's already a defeat for you, that you have losses with one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? Why not be deceived? It's better not to sue each other. As said, I hope you will have much of faith so that you would rather be wronged than degrading the glory of God by having strife with brothers or causing the brothers to carry out unrighteousness. Not just in the church, but also in your homes, workplaces, and the business fields. I hope you will all seek the benefit of others in truth. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let me conclude the message. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22 says, don't say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and He will save you. Yes, it's quite true that for me, you have seen and witnessed that God has took care of the situation and taken care of the situation, and He encouraged me, etc. Not only just verbally, but also God did something which He could actually console me. David followed these rules all his life. He tried to avoid unnecessary strife. When he was on the run from Saul, he had two chances to kill Saul, but he just let him go. He even touched the heart of Saul with words of kindness. It was because Saul was anointed by God, even though he was evil. Also, even after Saul was killed in the battle against the Philistines, David didn't enthrone himself. God made all the circumstances in a way that the people voluntarily asked him to become the king, and he accepted their request. Between David and Saul and Absalom, which example would you like to take after? I pray in the name of the Lord that you will act only in goodness like David, so that you will live a prosperous life in hope of salvation. While you are listening to the message, the goodness of David, which please God. I want you to find it out and make yourself with that kind of goodness. That's exactly the blessing. Let's pray together considering the message. Father God, thank you for your grace and love. Father, let the message be our spiritual food and our faith. Father, thank you. Father, let us become more good and let us march forward toward the Spirit. Help us to march forward to enter into the level of Spirit. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. The dimension of goodness is all different. If you go deeper, the lower level of lower dimension of goodness can understand the higher level of this goodness. You can understand the dimension or level of the goodness of the Holy Spirit. Because you have not entered into that level, so you don't understand David, the subordinates and the generals who followed him. Do you think they could understand David's goodness? How could they understand that King David tried to forgive his son who tried to kill him? How could they understand? Don't you enter into that kind of level, dimension of goodness, only understand. That's why you must not judge or condemn easily. Because when God says that you are right, then you are right. So lay your hand on the sick part of your body and receive the prayer for your desires of heart. Father God, thank you for your grace and love. Father, lay your hand on us now, from the top of the head to the end of the feet, and all the internal organs and the nervous system. Bless us to be strong, both physically and spiritually. Walk through us beyond transcending the time and space. Father, Robert Pavlenk from United States, the stomachache, be healed. And Andrew Kagwa, the mental disease and no appetite, be healed. And Harman, you drive evil spirits, go away from him. And Pastor Yoon, bless him to have a lot of material to get the sanctuary. And Rudy Ping healed him of the terminal cancer in his stomach. And Jang Ki-sung, Father, heal him in his brain hemorrhage. And Bae Bong-suk, bless her to have a better eyesight than Kyu Eun-sha. The whole paralyzed in the whole body, be healed. And Lee Ki-sung, the problem in the brain and the high blood pressure, be healed. Chiung Chen and Ring Ho Jen, bless them to conceive a baby. Gong Ju Hung, heal them of the lungs and asthma, etc. And Chen Kui Chin, heal them of the problem in the brain and kidney. And Chu Hua, stomachache and the spine pain, be healed. And Cho Song Wol, the skin disease and pain in the spine, be healed. Zhang Yong Xin, the terminal cancer in the lung. And the pain in the spine, be healed. Chong Page, Father, heal him with this bones, which continually grow. And the Cho Chen Sheng, Father, schizophrenia, healed him. And Puman Chen, the heart disease, and Xu Ying, the hearing problem, and Dongjiejin, depression, etc., he healed him. Father, heal our congregation so that they may see well and hear well and strengthen their internal organs. And your blood pressure, high blood pressure, go away and heal well and see well and strengthen their internal organs and all the germs of the diseases and the cancers go away. Your skin diseases, be healed, be cleaned. Father, bless us to be strong both physically and spiritually. Father, bless us and protect us in all kinds of aspects. Father, take hold of the handle of the drivers and church vehicles and help them to drive well and protect us in many ways. Father, thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.